This is Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1 FM and online at kpfa.org. I'm Kate Raphael. Up next, Janie Castillo, community builder of Building Opportunities for Self-Sufficiency, speaks with clients Celie Oldham and Cindy Sauer about their struggles to find affordable housing in the Bay Area. Celie is a 63-year-old former teacher, and Cindy is a young mother. BOSS is an unusual nonprofit organization. For 40 years, it has not only provided cutting-edge services to homeless people, but also does the necessary social justice work to make housing affordable for all. BOSS currently provides both short-term housing and transitional housing, and is building permanent housing as well. These programs are known collectively as The Village. Together with Western Regional Advocacy Project and the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness, BOSS is organizing a rally to be held on January 20th, the first anniversary of President Obama's inauguration. The rally is called Homelessness Ends with a Home, House Keys, Not Handcuffs. First, Janie speaks with Cindy Sauer.
When I had my daughter, housing was just impossible with the way everything is right now. So we ended up at the shelter. We went from being in a place where we were in a shared housing, roommates actually in the garage, basically, to go out and try to get back in the housing market again. And it just hadn't been working. So we're at the Village trying to get the deposits together, find something. Very hard with everything going on. Either it's not available or it's through the roof, whether you're employed or not at this point in time.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Village and what that is?
It has room for singles to live, for single mothers and families to be able to get back on your feet and get out there to get housing, to get a job, to get help medically or whichever way you can at this point in time. So it gives you tools with classes. It gives you tools in the community to go out and find. They have the resources for you able to do that. And while you're there at the same time to save up money and be able to get a place to go so you have something to start with and not always chasing it.
And you spoke briefly about affordable housing. Are you able to turn in applications? And when you do you find many places to turn in applications at? And what is the response that you get?
When you start out, first thing you find is a lot of, this is the bottom line with the money, and if you don't have this, you can't even apply. So when you start out the gate, they're asking you to make this much more, and that stops you a lot of the time. And then when you do find the other places, you're trying to find some place that has transportation that is safe.
So one of the things I want to clarify for our audience, most of our parents in our shelter and in our transitional houses make roughly $600, maybe $900 on Social Security. So with affordable housing comes a subsidy at which our families can pay only 30% of the income, which then helps them significantly get back on their feet. Cindy, tell us about the mothers and the women that live in the shelter with you.
I have a 20-year-old daughter as well. I see pregnant women now that are the same age as my daughter that are waiting to get housing. When you have a baby and you've been there, never realized you'd see all that in there.
Okay, thank you very much, Cindy. So our next guest is Celie Oldham, and she's a senior who has actually been in our shelter for over a year. And right now she is in permanent housing, but it is completely not affordable. So I'm asking Celie if she would kind of tell her story a little bit about how she got to the shelter and what it feels like now being in her own place.
Yes, Janie. I'm 63 years old. I am living in Point Richmond in what we call an SRO, which means it's a single dwelling facility where it's community living. You share a kitchen and a dining area and try to subsist on whatever income that you have. It's very difficult because the last 14 months, I lived on $303 a month in what we called an emergency shelter, which is Harrison House. There, we met the standard of one-third of our $303 went for our housing, our living expenses, and then we save one-third, and so we had $100 to live on. And it made us know and really think about how difficult it was there with the very basics being provided for us, food and electricity and just, you know, gratitude, just a general roof to live over our head. Well, I changed from GA and went from 303 to 760. The very first thing I had to do was pay back my grant. For those that believe that we are free agents living off of society, that is not true. For 40 years of my life, I was a state credentialed teacher in the California school system. I have been a homeowner. I've been a productive citizen. And part of my desire is to really get people to a conscious level of looking at the causative factors of homelessness. There are degrees, there are levels, there are different reasons. I really want people to understand it's difficult, even after coming out of a shelter, until I'm able to get affordable housing or get to self-sufficiency. And I do plan to go back to full-time employment.
So you were living in the shelter. And
yes.
You were on general assistance.
Yes.
And the housing that you could find was actually an SRO.
Right.
The rent is five?
$550.
And you make approximately?
$760.
So that leaves you very little.
Yes.
To go on.
Yes.
So with affordable housing, your rent would then be 30%.
Right.
How would that change your life?
It would change my life in that I could get on with leading a more productive life. I'd have a safe place to live and to be free of the anxieties of struggle and suffering, because that is exactly what it is. But thanks to Boss and the shelter, we are so equipped. I've learned where to shop, how to shop. We're also always considered family, so I can go back to the village, which has become my family, my home, and I work there in gratitude for what was given to me, a safety net to at least get on my feet and to encourage my family that's still there that there is hope.
It has been my personal experience to know these two beautiful women for over a year now, and I will tell you that there is not a lazy bone in their body. They went after every opportunity that was presented to them through the classes that we have on site, through their case manager, through outside resources to secure low-income affordable housing, and the truth is that it's just not available. I'm going to tell you a story about how if someone does have affordable housing, how it could change their lives and get them back on their feet. I myself, over 16 years ago now, was in the same shelter, Harrison House it was called. It is now called The Village. And I stayed there for about 14, 17 months and took advantage of the programs and the classes and the support that Harrison House gave me. And I moved out with a Section 8 certificate, which is actually a subsidy that helped me pay my rent. And at that time, I had four children. I moved into a house in East Oakland. After a couple of years, I was able to volunteer at my children's school, which was right around the corner. That volunteer position led to a paid position with Oakland Unified School District. I was still using the Section 8 program. My rent increased a little bit as my income went up, but it was okay. You know, it was totally manageable. I then went to Boss and they hired me about, it might have been 7 years ago. And I've been working with Boss ever since. And I loved it totally. During that time, I took advantage of the Section 8 home ownership program. And after 3 years, I own my own house. So it really works if people are given the support and the help they need to get back on their feet. Celie, you mentioned the general assistance program, and I was hoping that you can tell us more about that, because it's, from what I heard, some really serious cuts are coming in this year. Very quickly, there's going to be a lot of people who will be without general assistance. Can you tell us a little bit about those cuts?
Yes. I'm grateful that I'm going to not to be in that cut, because I successfully transferred out of that category. My heart goes out to my fellow village persons who have received letters from the state. Jeannie, as recent as last week, I had a person come up and say, Celie, they took $100 from me. Although we've tried to educate our village through the Homeless Action Council and all the legal advice we've gotten, there are still people that quite don't understand. It hasn't really hit them that in less than a couple of months, they're going to be cut off or only receive $100 for 3 months, and only 3 months. I don't think the impact has hit, but as their checks are slowly dwindling, I have gone and said, what do you plan to do? And they're like, what does the government want us to do? We're at rock bottom. We're suffering. There are conditions. One of the conditions is, if you're employable, you must get a job. I think that's a joke and just a real slam in the face to be talking to the poorest of the poorest when our economy is in the state that it is right now. And so I honestly ask people coming from prison, on parole, I've asked people on the street, what are you going to do? And they say, whatever I have to. You know, Janie, housing is a human right, a civil right, and we that have must be able to recognize the suffering. We're more than just a figure, a budget figure. You're talking about human beings.
I know that we've mentioned that in many of the marches on general assistance that we have had, that some of our people are going to be so desperate enough that they might do something illegal. But from the folks that I know, it seems that's not going to be the case. It might for some folks, but I'm thinking that they're just going to suffer and they're going to go hungry. And we're going to need to really think about pouring monies back into the shelters and the transitional houses and the soup kitchens, and to rely on our faith institutions, because a lot of our people are not going to resort to crime. They're just going to be out there depressed and in fear and hungry and lost. And so we have to do something about that. And we're hoping that if you're listening to this show right now, that you take a look at what's happening in your community and find out how to get in touch with the fight to stop the GA cuts, that you call our office boss. Some of the demands, I won't mention all of them because we're going to give you contact information, is to immediately restore HUD federal affordable housing funding to comparable 1978 levels. Now, in 1978, the budget for HUD, which filters the money into the housing authorities and the Section 8 programs, was $83 billion. In 2009, it was only $38.5 billion. So where did the money go? The current crisis and the current recession, you know that there are more people out there in need of this service. So we absolutely need to ask them to put the money back and to help us build affordable housing across the nation. The other thing that we would like is to restore USDA new unit construction levels in rural communities to 31,000 units annually. We want a one-for-one replacement of existing affordable housing units. They destroy affordable housing and they don't put it back, which is really not okay because a lot more people need it. Under civil rights, we absolutely must ask that they stop police and business improvement zone programs. These programs criminalize and remove homeless, poor, people of color, and disabled members of our communities. Another demand under civil rights is ensure that the more than 914,000 homeless children in our public schools are able to stay at their home schools, are fully integrated with their house peers, and are provided the support they need to learn and thrive. So those are just some of the demands on the table. Cindy, would you like to share with us why you're going on January 20th?
I have multiple reasons for going. Obviously, trying to find housing and being in this process now has been an education. To educate anybody on things that you hear every day on the news is so much more important. I didn't make it all the way through college. Now going and getting up in these classes, you feel like you can teach somebody else, and it's the only way to get it stopped is to go and to bring the bodies there so they can see how many people really want this to change.
How about you, Celie? Why are you going on January 20th?
I think to share my hope. And that when people come together positively wanting change, it can take you out of hopelessness into hope. You can look and say, maybe there is another way than turning into a criminal or staying homeless or sinking into defeat. So to say, I have a voice. Can you just hear what I have to say? Hopefully we'll have many voices. And I want to be part of that. I want to speak hope to those that are on the streets, those that are in shelters, and even encourage myself to keep on going till I perhaps get to the point where I'll own my own home again, Jamie.
So on January 20th, we want to see people who live in condos, people with the executive jobs and the nonprofit folks and our homeless folks also, every single person from every walk of life. The homelessness ends with a home rally and march Wednesday, January 20th, 2010 at 11 o'clock, meeting place Justin Herman Plaza, 1 Market Street, San Francisco, close to Embarcadero BART. Call 510-649-1930, extension 221 to get involved, or you can email me at santana400@aol.com, S-A-N-T-A-N-A. 400@AOL.com. This action is organized by the Western Regional Advocacy Program. Their website is wraphome.org, and you can call them directly at 415-621-2533.
You've been listening to Janie Castillo of BOSS, Building Opportunities for Self-Sufficiency, in conversation with Cindy Sauer and Celie Oldham about their efforts to find affordable housing. You can learn more about BOSS's programs and help fight against the cuts in general assistance by calling 510-649-1930. Once again, that's 510-649-1930, or visit their website at www.selfsufficiency.org. And don't forget about Homelessness Ends with a Home. The rally will be held this Wednesday, January 20th, beginning at 11 a.m. in Justin Herman Plaza on the Embarcadero in San Francisco. This piece was produced by Yvette Hochberg. Stay tuned for the Women's Community Calendar.